Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's read this out loud and together, all right? And let's fill the atmosphere with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's read. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Everyone say yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
All right, well, that's the title of my message this morning, all right? Listen, there are over 3,000 promises given to us in Scripture. You know, promises that God speaks to us, and they're promises that deal with healing and health and happiness. They're promises that deal with provision and peace and prosperity, family, finances, you know, protection and security, all of these promises that God has spoken to us. And we recognize that the Bible is full of these promises. Yes. Listen, how many of you know that God is not only a promise maker, but He's a promise keeper?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my assignment today is to help us to kind of divide what can be a double-minded approach to the promises of God. All right. And the reason being is because many of the Old Testament promises are based on this formula of if and then. Everyone say if and then. And we're going to look at some of these today. And so the promises are, if you do this, then God will do that. And a lot of times we as Christians, we get kind of sucked into this if and then mentality, and because we live in the if and then world. Right? How many can agree? If you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, then that won't happen. Right, we have this if and then mentality, and it's this thing that puts a lot of pressure on us. And so there's other ones, like if you wouldn't have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. Come on, how many are relating? But if you would have done this, oh, then this would have happened. Right, other ones might be even real close to home. You know, if you wouldn't have refinanced your home, then your mortgage would have been paid off by now. If you would have taken better care of yourself when you were younger, you wouldn't be dealing with these health problems right now. Come on, are you hearing me? So a lot of times we bring this if and then mentality into our faith walk, and I want to deal with that today. I want to deal with that today so that we're not double-minded on what God has promised. Are we good? So listen, we're going to do some teaching. We're going to look through some scripture. And by the time you leave here today, you're going to be able to say with all your heart, full of faith, yes and amen. Yeah, you're already doing that. Look at there. So let's look at a few of these Old Testament promises. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. It shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. So here there is a promise of God's provision. Amen. So how many of you know that God promises that he's going to provide for you?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what he wants to do. Look at verses 22 and 23. He says, if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. You will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. So this is a promise of protection. This is a promise of prosperity. And it's a promise of promotion. How many know that God wants to protect you?
Amen.
Listen, how many know that God wants to prosper you?
Yes.
Yeah, he wants to promote you. Do you know that?
Yes.
That's what he wants. He wants you to be seated with him in the heavenlies and walk in the reality of that. This is what he desires. These are his promises for you. Like I said, God is not only a promise maker, but he's a promise keeper. How many of you believe that?
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I am absolutely certain. I have faith that God will do exactly what he said he's going to do. His word will not return void, right? He's not a man that he should lie, right? He absolutely has every intention to do everything he said he would do. And I know that. I know that if I carefully obey his command, I know that if I walk in all his ways, I know that if I serve him with all my heart, I know that if I love him with all my heart, I know that if I hold tightly only to him, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to provide for me, he's going to protect me, he's going to do wonderful things for me and through me.
Yes.
Man, I am certain of that. I'm certain of that. You know, our God is a good God. Amen, church? Man, he is benevolent and he is forever faithful. So listen, if I do what God tells me to do, then I am certain that all the blessings that he promised will come to pass in my life. All right? But there's a question I have to ask myself. Do I always obey all his commands? Do I always love the Lord with all my heart? I mean, sometimes your love can get fickle. Right? Do I always serve him in all my ways? You know, do I always cling only to him? You know, sadly, as much as I'd like to answer those questions with yes, 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 and yes, if I'm honest, I have to answer no. And that creates a problem for me. Because if I'm not doing the ifs, how can I expect to receive the thens? Come on, are you hearing this? So many of the promises that we embrace, they follow this Old Testament formula. If you do this, then God will do that. All right, so listen. Many Christians, including myself at times, man, we're stuck in this conundrum, you know. We know that we can't possibly fulfill all of the ifs. And so many of us walk around with very low or no expectation that we're going to receive the thens. So what's that doing to our faith? You know, so there's thing going on. We're caught in between the ifs and the thens. And we've built our world around this mindset. Like I mentioned earlier, we have this automatic transition in our thinking that says, if I wouldn't have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. If I only would have done this, then this would have happened. And so we have this if and then mindset. It's almost a double-minded mindset. And this mindset constantly challenges us to question whether or not I measure up. So the promises and the blessings that God wants to bring to us, they have to try to get through this mindset that wonders, do I measure up? I mean, my own fickleness, you know, my own faults, my own failures, my own shortcomings, they short out or they cancel out any chance of the blessings of God reaching me. Yeah, because if I don't do this, this isn't going to happen. So there's a lot of pressure on how I'm to receive what God has for me. And listen, sometimes we'll take it even a step further that my own disobedience will bring a curse because the Bible says so. Look at Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. It says, behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Look at verse 28. The curse, if you do not obey the command of the Lord. So I got a blessing and I got a curse. Listen, if I obey, I'm blessed. If I disobey, I'm cursed. Well, what am I to do? You know, what am I to do? I have a problem that I can't solve. Come on, listen. My assignment today is to begin to help you to get inside your own mind and recognize that we're not bending to the law, we're walking in this grace. All right, God's going to show us that today. But I have a problem with this because it's the if and then. You know, I have a dilemma that I can't overcome. I have promises that I can't obtain. I'm stuck in between this world of ifs and thens. Unless, everyone say unless. Unless I get an understanding of the purpose of the law. Because that's what we're dealing with. A legalistic mindset versus grace. Look at Galatians chapter 3 with me. Galatians chapter 3. Say this with me. Say, Lord, give me an understanding of the law. I want to know the purpose of the law. Look at this. Galatians 3, 23 through 25 says, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Now look at verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be fulfilled or justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So Paul is saying that the purpose of the law was to tutor us. It's to school us. The purpose of the law is to show us that we are not righteous and that there's no way that we can possibly keep the standard of righteousness that would qualify us to receive the blessings we want. Yeah. Come on, are you hearing this? The law was given to produce in us this realization that although I wish I could receive all of these blessings, there's no way I can fulfill the obligations to get them. Yeah, look at it again. Verse 24, Galatians 3. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Listen, no one can be justified by keeping the law. Do you understand? No, the law was given, listen, this is the whole purpose the law was given, to tell us sinners we need a Savior. That was the whole purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to tutor us that we might be justified by faith. But after faith, verse 25, we are no longer under a tutor. In other words, after we receive Jesus, we're no longer under the law. Are you hearing this? We're no longer under the tutor. We're no longer under the law anymore. All right, so look at this. Back at our foundational text, 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Apostle Paul says, all the promises of God in him, everyone say in him.
Amen.
All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So what is Paul telling us? Paul is telling us this, because Jesus has fulfilled all of the ifs, when we're in Christ, all of the thens belong to us.
Yes.
Come on, you're going to catch this. Listen, in the Old Covenant, we read over and over again, if you do this, then you'll be blessed. If you do this, then you'll be blessed. But Paul is saying this, in the New Covenant, in the New Covenant, when you are in Christ Jesus, listen now, it's no longer if and then, it's yes and amen.
Amen.
Come on, say yes and amen.
Yes and
amen. Come on, you're going to catch this. You're going to catch this by the time we're out here, okay? Listen, let me say this to you too, okay? This is not a lesson on obedience and disobedience. Because we already know, listen, you're not going to benefit if you disobey. Listen, we have consequences for our behavior, right? So this is not a lesson on obedience or disobedience. This is coming up inside of your head to see, man, am I walking by the law or am I walking by grace? Am I believing by what the law said or am I believing on what Jesus did? Come on, you need this. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. You guys tracking with me?
Yes.
I want to tell you that in the, you know, since the beginning of the year, it seems like the Lord wants me to do teaching on Sunday mornings. You know, to go a little bit deeper. You know what I mean? And I feel like the reason is that, you know, we meet here once a week. And when we come together on Sunday mornings, we have 70% of the people here and probably 20% online. So my best opportunity to bring some teaching and disciple you is on a Sunday morning because that's when we have the greatest attendance, right? And so the Lord has been having me study some things out and bring some teaching to you, not just preaching, but teaching, so that you can stand on the Word of God and you can have a revelation of what God said so you can stand on that.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So I've been spending, you can ask my wife, I've been spending a lot of time fleshing out these verses and looking at things and praying and asking God, what is it that you want to bring out today? So what you're getting today has been studied out. And man, I'll share this with you too, that I am teaching you what I'm learning.
Amen.
Now listen, tomorrow I'm going to be learning what I taught you. Come on, do you catch that? So I don't have all the answers is what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that when God gives me a revelation, as I learn something, man, I'm teaching that to you. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, man, I got to do the same thing you're doing. I got to learn what I taught. And it keeps on recycling. Yeah, how many of you know that's true? Because the revelation and the knowledge of God is way beyond me. That's why I'm telling you, he said, I already read through my Bible once in a year. Well, I already took OSL. I'm telling you, there is more revelation to be found.
Yes.
Amen. You'll never outgrow it. You'll never outgrow it. So look what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Look what he says. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus said, I'm not coming to destroy the law, I'm coming to fulfill it. In other words, I'm not seeking to weaken the law, but to establish the law. So listen, Jesus fully accomplished all that was written in the law. He accomplished it completely. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul is speaking about his heart and how he wants to reach, really, the people of Israel, but he wants to reach the non-messianic Jews. He wants to reach the Jews that are under the law but haven't received Jesus yet. Look what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, Romans 10, beginning in verse 1. By the way, this was in your yesterday's reading plan. All right? Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. You know, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, extremely educated. And so he's talking about his desire to have these children of Israel to come into a relationship with Jesus. He wants them to have the same encounter he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Yeah, remember he was on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus at this point in time. His name was Saul. He was on his way to Damascus, listen, to arrest Christians to have them murdered. Man, he was completely against Jesus. But man, he had an encounter with the Savior, and the Lord said, I'm going to use you. And he wrote most of the New Testament. All right, so his heart was changed. His heart had an encounter with Jesus by faith. And so he says, my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. He's speaking about the Jews, but he's speaking about these Jews. They're not messianic Jews. He's speaking to these people that are living under the law, but they have not yet come into faith in Christ. This is who he's talking about. I really want them to be saved. That's what we want. Come on. Listen, some of you today need to be saved from a legalistic mindset, even though you've already came into faith in Christ. Yeah, you have faith in Christ, but you're battling this if and then mindset. And you always feel like you don't measure up. You always feel, well, that would be for them. Look how they're living. But me, listen, we're going to solve that today. Look what he says now. Talking about these non-messianic Jews, verse 2. I know what enthusiasm they have for God. So he sees they're enthusiastic for God, just like us. Right? You're enthusiastic for God. That's why you're here this morning. Yes. Amen. He says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God. Listen, but it is misdirected zeal. In other words, there's all this energy going in to what they're passionate about, but they're missing it all. Yeah. Then he says this in verse 3, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Listen, these people don't understand that Christ is the way that we are made right with God. They don't understand it. There's no other way to be made right with God, church. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith, not of any works of our own. Not of any works of our own. It is the free gift of God. Well, he's saying these people, they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Look what it says. Refusing to accept God's way. Which is God's way? Jesus Christ. Refusing to accept God's way. Look at this. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. I think many of us are trapped. Even though we receive Jesus and we received him by faith, somehow we've come to a place where we think we have to keep it by keeping the law. I want to free you up from that today. I want to free you up from this today. You know, I don't have this up on the screen, but I'm thinking about this today. I remember when Paul wrote to the Galatians, and I don't know the address, chapter or verse right now, but I know that Paul said this to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? In other words, who has cast a spell on you that you would think that after you received by faith, now you have to keep it by the works of the law? And he asked this question, did you receive by what the law said, or did you receive by faith? And he says, you're fools. You're fools to think that you have to keep the law to walk by faith. All right, so this is the conundrum we have. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. They're caught in between the ifs and the thens. Verse 4, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose of which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Amen? All who believe in him. The holy standard of the law was perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ, church. I mean, you got to think about this. He fully obeyed all of the strict requirements. Yeah, he came to fulfill the law, to strengthen it, to establish it with his word. He fully obeyed all of the strict requirements. And listen, he personally fulfilled all of the ceremonial requirements. Yeah, he was the sacrificial lamb of God, unblemished sacrificial lamb of God who laid down his life, right, for us. So ceremonially, he completely fulfilled all of the requirements. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now look at verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. What's he talking about? The handwriting of requirements are the law. He completely fulfilled the law, and the Apostle Paul is saying that he wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and listen, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So listen, everything that needed to take place for us to be made right with God happened on the cross. Yeah, come on, turn to your neighbor and say, make much of the cross. Last week I talked to you about God's final word. Remember in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, where the writer of Hebrews says that in former days, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many ways, or in many times and in various ways. And then it says that that in these latter days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Remember this? Who he has appointed heir of all things, whom through him all the universes are created. So Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, and he's the heir of all things. And then in verse 3, he goes on to say that the Son of Man, or the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. Listen, holding all things together by his powerful word. Remember this? And then he said, after he made purification for our sins. What is that? How did he make purification for our sins? Come on, you can be confident. You got the right answer. This is not a trick question. How did he make purification for your sins? Come on, everyone say, make much of the cross. Yeah. After he made purification for the sins on the cross, man, then he sat down at the right hand of our Father in heaven, where he's at right now interceding for us. Yes, so last week I shared with you that Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. Remember, what were the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross according to John's gospel? Three of them. It is finished. It is finished. That's what he's saying. I came to fulfill all this stuff. And all of the handwriting requirements, all those things that held you to a place where you knew I can't get there, he goes, I took those and nailed them to the cross. Yes, so that now we're justified by faith, not by those works. Come on, are you catching this? So look again at Deuteronomy, because I want to show you how this works. Are you catching this? Deuteronomy 11, 22 and 23 again. He says, if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. So listen, Jesus diligently kept all of the commandments. All right, so listen, he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, right? Jesus walked in all of his ways. Jesus held fast to him. Jesus fulfilled all of the ifs perfectly. All right, so listen, so by his grace and for his glory, when we receive Jesus into our heart, God placed us in Christ. Come on, are you seeing this? Yes. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're in Christ. So listen, because Christ fulfilled the ifs, we get the thens. For those of us who are in Christ, man, we are walking in the reality of what Jesus already fulfilled. All right? So because we're in Christ, man, all of the ifs are fulfilled, and we get all of the thens, leaving us nothing else to do or say but yes and amen. Yeah, are you here? Does everyone say yes and amen? Yeah, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. In him, it's yes and amen. All right, so listen, the idea, and this is my thought process, is that when I'm wanting to receive the promises, listen, I'm not going to willingly walk in disobedience. You know, I reverence the Lord. I fear the Lord. I don't want to mess up on purpose, but we mess up, don't we? Amen. Yeah, we still sin. And I'm going to say that we sin numerous times a day, some more than others. And it might not be an active sin, but a thought of sin. It might be a sin where God asks you to serve somewhere and you don't. So you know what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. That's disobedience. All right, but it might not be disobedience out of rebellion, but out of lack of faith. Come on, are you hearing me? We are complex people with complex minds. And so in my thought process, I'm thinking, man, how much time am I spending trying to justify myself when God said all the promises are yours and me? Come on, can you relate to what I'm talking about? How many of you deal with this? You hit a wall. God's like screaming out the blessing he wants to give, and you're disqualifying yourself all along because you got that other little voice in there. Well, yeah, that's what's yours if you would have done this. And listen, what the Lord wants to do is he wants to remove that other voice. Again, we're not talking about obedience and disobedience. We're talking about receiving in full faith as a child what was accomplished on the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he didn't die for nothing. God, he died that you can have all the promises. Yeah, that's why he died. The whole purpose he died. Listen, when God created us, really Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, you know, all three of them, they created us. Listen, when God created us in his image, he blessed them and said, I want you to have dominion over all the earth. Yes. Yeah, that whole purpose he created you was to have dominion, to have authority over all the earth. Well, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, man, all of the promises that God had, man, Satan stole them. And so the whole purpose of God from that day forward was to bring it back together like it was before the fall. So all the law and all the requirements and all the sacrificial system, all of these things came. And finally, God said, you know what? I'm going to take care of this once and for all. I'm going to send my son, who is the spotless, blameless. He's going to be the spotless, blameless Lamb of God. And the altar is going to be the cross. And when he dies for the sins of the people and resurrects on the third day, all the promise of God can be theirs. So sometimes we're wanting to walk by faith and we say the right words. By faith, you know, you say, by his stripes, you're healed. And then the one that's getting prayed for says, yeah, but if I would have taken better care of myself. Canceling out the promise. And we do that in our own life. Yeah. You know, if you wouldn't have refinanced your house two times, your mortgage would have been paid by now. Well, God said he'd meet all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? Yes. Listen, he knew I was a screw up before he died for me. Come on, are you hearing this? He knew you didn't have it all together, church. So we kind of have this, you know, if God really would have known. No, he went to the cross regardless. He knew already, church. God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, are you seeing this? So Jesus fulfilled all of the ifs so you can have all of the thens. Yeah, come on. I want this to be a monumental day in your life, church, because listen, you'll catch the revelation, but you're gonna have to work it. Because there's a real battle. Come on, how many of you are identifying this real battle in there? Listen, I need to make it really clear. I am not giving you permission to disobey. You have consequences for behavior. Right? So don't bring this in as an excuse, like, oh man, I can live like hell and yes and amen. You know, no. I think you laugh because you know you're trying the angle. You're already thinking of the angle. And listen, it's not because you're bad people. It's because that's how we are. You know, we constantly have to die to our flesh. We have to die to things. And today, I just feel like the Lord wants us to die to this legalistic way of thinking that really shortchanges what Jesus did on the cross for you and what he did on the cross for me. So listen, I want this to be a monumental day for you. Amen? Amen. I want this to give you enough truth and enough grace to recognize what you have in Christ. Listen, do you realize that God wants to do miracles through you? Do you realize that God wants to bring miracles to you? Yeah, he wants to meet all your need. And let me say this too, because these if and thens are still there. 1 John 1:9, we all need this one. If you confess your sins, then I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, but God, you know, I've been doing this. No. No. If you confess your sins, then I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Oh, but Lord, you know, I've been doing this over and over and over again. No. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins. Our response, yes and amen. I confess my sins. Yes and amen to your forgiveness. Yes and amen to cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Yes and amen that there's no condemnation or shame that can attach itself to me anymore. Yeah? We gotta apply these things. We gotta appropriate these things. And it's all throughout our Christian walk. But what happens, I feel, is that we're questioning the goodness of God's grace and we're putting ourselves in a works mentality, thinking that, yeah, but I gotta do something about it. Yeah. But if we do something about it, we take away what Christ did. We say, I'll take care of it. I got it. Come on, are you catching this? It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? And listen, I'll tell you, you know, there may be some people online there that say, oh, all they do is preach grace. You know, oh, grace givers, grace givers. I'm leaning in grace. Yeah. You know, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, right? So the Word is Jesus. It says, all things came into being through him, without anything, nothing was made that was made. And then it goes on to say that he was full of grace and truth. Everyone say grace and truth.
Grace and truth.
Yeah. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father, and Jesus was full of grace and truth. In other words, he had the perfect balance. The perfect balance of grace and truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, we have people, even in the church, even in your family, you know, they're truth tellers. And they're like, oh, I'm a truth teller. But they don't have any grace. And then you have people in your life, they're grace givers. Grace, 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 grace. Like, oh. No accountability. You know, yo, grace, 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 with no truth. So listen, truth without grace is mean. Yeah, but listen, grace without truth is meaningless. Jesus had the perfect balance of these things. All right, we need the truth, but we need to tap into the grace that was afforded us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Come on, I want to tell you, there is no sin that you've committed. I don't care where you think you've gone or how far you think you've gone or how low you think you've gone. I want to tell you that your sin is forgivable and your life is redeemable. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because God has plans for you. And listen, Your darkest story becomes his story. Say history.
History.
Now say his story.
History.
Your history becomes his story when you bring it under the shadow of the cross, no matter how ugly it might be. Yeah, and then so we're able to showcase God's grace by sharing the reality. Man, I was a mess. I had no hope. I was trying. I couldn't kick the habit. I couldn't shake the addiction. I was a mess until I got a revelation of the cross. Yeah. And so then all of a sudden now you have a ministry assignment to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you're living and breathing today. And listen, your story is your story. And your story becomes a testimony of the goodness of God when you let Jesus rewrite your story. Come on, are you hearing this? Listen, this church is all about empowering you, equipping you, and releasing you to go out there and be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of you are. Come on, you got to hear. This is our message. You're a minister. Everyone, well, I don't have any education. I've never been to Bible college. I don't have any credentials. You know, you don't need a title to shepherd people and care for people. You don't need an education. You just need a story. This is what I was like. I was a mess. Jesus saved me. Another story is, man, I was in desperate need. Jesus provided for me. This can happen every week. I really screwed up, and this is how Jesus forgave me. Listen, every single day of your life becomes a testimony of God's grace as long as you stay under the shadow of the cross and you recognize this is it for me. Because you'll never catch up trying to make up for all your mistakes. Come on, are you hearing this? You don't have enough years to make up for all your mistakes. And if you think you have, well, let me give you about an hour. Are you hearing me? The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So what do we just got to keep confessing our sin to him, owning it, that Lord, forgive me. Do you know that Jesus wants to wash you? He wants to cleanse you. He goes, that's what I came for. Don't hold your dirt from me. I want to wash you. I want to cleanse you. Yeah. And when we go out in the world with that heart, you know, recognizing that this is what he did for me. It's what he did for me yesterday. It's what he's going to do for me today. And we go out in the world and we let people know, oh, you have so much potential locked up in you. Oh, if you only would stop working the law and recognize Jesus nailed all that stuff to the cross. Just come to him. And when you're in him, all you have to say is yes and amen to him. Amen. Come on, are you hearing it? I love Jesus. And I love people, I do. And I'm thankful and humbled that I get to do what I do. Thank you. I was going to say, Pastor Jim, will you go give her the $10? We. That's not true. We love you, DJ. Say this with me. Say, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Because I am in Christ Jesus. It's no longer if and then, but yes and amen. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through me. Say this with me. God gets glory through me when I receive by faith his promises. Today I say yes and amen to all the promises of God. Come on, say yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
All right, now listen to me, all right? I'm going to read a whole bunch of promises from the Old Testament, and we're going to have, you can go ahead and put that up on the screen, yes and amen, if you have it, Kayla. Yeah. So listen, I'm going to read all kinds of promises from the New Testament. And when I do this, I want you to shout yes and amen. All right, what are we doing? We're activating the word. We're activating what we learned. And you're going to come into agreement with the realization and the revelation of the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ. You good with this?
Yes.
All right, so when I do this, what are you going to say?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, all right, and you can get as loud as you want with this. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country.
Yes, amen.
Blessed shall be the fruit of your body.
Yes, amen.
Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out.
Yes, amen.
The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways.
Yes, amen.
The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand.
Yes, amen.
He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
Yes, amen.
God has properties for you.
Yes, amen.
He wants to pay off your mortgage.
Yes, amen.
He wants to pay off your business.
Yes.
The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you.
Yes, amen.
All the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body.
Yes, amen.
The Lord will open up to you his good treasure, the heavens to give you rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand.
Yes, amen.
You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow.
Yes, amen.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail.
Yes, amen.
You're going to be ahead of your bills, not behind.
Yes, amen.
You shall be above only and not beneath.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, say it again.
Yes, amen. Yes,
come on, give him some praise, church. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. It's true. Come on, come on. You feel the faith rise. Amen. So listen, does everybody have this? We're going to take communion right now. If you don't have one of these communion cups, please raise your hand. Our ushers will get them to you. I want you to go ahead and get the bread ready, okay? We're going to take this all at once. All right. So when we say partake, we're going to have you take the bread and then we're going to have you flip it over and take the cup and I'll direct you in. So listen, not only is all that we enjoy because of Christ. Come on, are you guys still trying to figure out how to open up that little thing? Come on, pick it up. It's like you're sending already, just trying to get the thing open. Don't call it names, okay? We got better ones, man. The last ones we had, man, we had communion. I'd bring a toothpick just to poke a hole in there. These ones are a lot easier. So listen, not only is all that we enjoy because of Christ, but in reality, all that we need and all that we desire is really found in him. Everybody say in him.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we think that we need Jesus to provide for us our daily bread, right? But Jesus says, I am the bread. You know, sometimes we think that we need to ask God or Jesus, you know, give us direction. And Jesus says, I'm the way. Come on. Sometimes we think that we need to go to the Lord Jesus and ask him, you know, to give me, open up a door of opportunity for me. We think we need to go and ask him to give us a relationship or a promotion. And Jesus says, I'm the door. And this is what I hear the Lord saying, and I wrote this down, and I'm just going to read it. And after I'm done reading this, I'm just going to have you partake of both of these in your way, okay? I'm not going to direct you to take the bread and the cup. We know that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus. We know that the cup represents the blood of Jesus that paid for everything. Yeah, these two elements together give us the right to say yes and amen. Amen. So I want to read this. I wrote this down. And I felt like the Lord was speaking this to me. I was on a walk down at the lake. That's where I usually go. And I was meditating on the word and meditating on my own struggle meditating on my own, you know, man, why am I always questioning? It's almost like I'm questioning myself, but in reality, I'm questioning the grace of God. And so I was going through that, and I felt like this is what the Lord said, and I want to share it with you. The Lord said, it's me you're craving. It's me you desire. And then he said this, all the promises of God are not something that come from me. They're found in me. He says, as I am in the Father, and as the Father is in me, you're in us. We've been invited into this inner circle church. And he says, because you're in us, all the promises of God to you are yes and amen. Oh, isn't that sweet? Yeah. Everything that you think you desire. Yeah. These promises, they're not coming from me. They're found in me. So our thing is, I just want to stay in Christ. I just want to stay in there. So when I blow it, what do I got to do to get back in there? Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. When I lose peace, I know I got to go back into his presence and find that peace. Amen? So every little area in our life all day long, every little thing that causes us to lose peace or lose hope or lose joy or feel condemned or ashamed, every one of those things, it's a trigger to remind us everything in him is yes and amen. Amen. So listen, I'm going to ask you to partake of this however you want it this time. And while you're taking it, would you just mutter under your breath, yes and amen. Yes and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. You get anything out of today?
Yeah.
Did it help you? Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Listen, in your bulletin, I put a little handout in here. And I want you to take this home. There's some extras as well. If you need more, they're there. But this is what I called framing your world with the Word of God. And it comes from Hebrews 11:3, where it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All right, so this, on both sides, front and back, is all kinds of declarations for you to frame your world with the promises of God. All right, so I want to encourage you to take that, use it, it's a tool. And we love you with all of our heart. Pastor Gail and I are so thankful to have the opportunity to serve you each week and to do life with you. And I want to encourage you to go out this week with these words on your mouth. Yes and amen. All right. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.